Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, expert samurai? My co-host, James Weeks. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? The Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I am MK Lords, and I'm joined by the Expert Samurai. That's his new name.
That's me, apparently, now.
That's you. That's you. So, yeah, we realized that you didn't have a wrestling name, but you were unique. You picked, where did you go to pick your name?
Wu-Tang Clan Name Generator.
That's awesome. If you want a nickname, go to that. Is that like a Wu-Tang Name Generator.com? Like, what, how do people find that?
I just Google searched Wu-Tang Clan Name Generator, and it was the top result. And
oh, wow.
You just enter your real name and then hit enter the Wu-Tang, and it gives you a Wu-Tang Clan name.
Had you heard of that before, or were you just like, I wonder if there's a Wu-Tang name generator, and then Google was like, I shall provide.
Google provided.
Okay.
Google always provides.
I'm going to put my name in. I just brought this up. Hold on. I'm curious. I'll put my state name in. I'm not going to say what it is on the radio. Annoying ambassador. Wow. Rude. But maybe not untrue.
Yeah, according to the website, Donald Glover got his rapping name, Childish Gambino, from the Wu-Tang Clan name generator.
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't realize that's where he got that name from. Huh.
That's what it says on the website.
Amazing. So, yeah, I'm seeing that right now. Wow. Great. So they blew up after that, I guess. Wow, that's way cooler sounding than Annoying Ambassador. Normally I like alliteration, but that's kind of rude.
I'm kind of like an expert samurai, though.
Yeah, that's way cooler. Why did you get the cool name? Freaking Wu-Tang and the patriarchy. Keeping me down. This is crap.
They did it.
They did it. All right. Well, so you brought up kind of an interesting news story when we were kind of prepping for the show. I didn't realize this was happening, but this is one of those things, of course, it's going to be messy. So in 2016, we lost a lot of people. Some good, some bad. One of them was Prince, which was really, really sad. And this woman is claiming to be Prince's wife, and she wants full control over his multi-million dollar estate. And her name is Claire Elizabeth Elliott, and she filed a request for control of Prince's estate, claiming she has a marriage certificate proving the two were married when the pop icon died of an accidental overdose on April 21st. And this gets weird. Of course, there's like all these crazy people who are going to come out of the woodwork whenever a celebrity dies with crazy stories about how they need their money. She's saying she's his sole heir. She hasn't provided a copy of the marriage certificate. Shocker. And she said she was secretly married to him in Las Vegas in 2012 by a rabbi named Ross Dryblett, who allegedly drew up a secret will for the singer. And this is when it gets interesting, because the CIA and other agencies consider both documents to be top secret. Ross cannot publicly release either document without being properly served a subpoena. The document reads... So, like, the CIA is involved in this. There's a mysterious rabbi. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. What are your thoughts on this?
My favorite part is in the document where she says, "I am not insane."
Because Because nothing says you're not insane like saying you were secretly married to Prince and all the documents are top secret classified.
The CIA apparently has an interest in Prince's love life and marriage.
I mean,
classify some documents.
I love this part, too.
That's national security.
It is. I mean, have you seen those moves? Like, how do you learn them? I don't know. It's secret. But she also filed documents to run for president of the United States this last election cycle. Man, we could have had her as president.
I think that would have turned out less crazy than what we got.
I think so, too. I mean, I was really pulling for Joe Exotic, but, you know, we can't all have our... I can't say that on the radio. Never mind. We can't all get what we want, I guess. So...
Well, Joe Exotic was definitely the best choice.
Obviously. I mean, and it's too bad, you know, there weren't better libertarian choices, too. I feel like us fiends were pulling for you, so we...
even though I wasn't running?
Yes.
There's actually a few people I know that wrote me in for president, apparently.
Good. That counts. So. Okay.
Yeah.
That counts.
And people, yeah, it was people wrote me in for sheriff and they're out of state places apparently too.
Oh, good.
Got a lot of people. Got a lot of votes that weren't counted, I guess.
Aw. Well, hey, if you're going to waste the time to go down there and deal with all of that, you might as well have fun. So.
Exactly.
I didn't vote this year. I know, shocking. I'm back in Florida, and of course, Trump ended up winning Florida. That wasn't super shocking to me. It was shocking that he won everything else, though. I was a bit surprised there. But whatever.
I knew he was going to win Michigan. Because driving around, all I saw was Trump signs everywhere, and no one believed me when I said, "Hey, he's going to win Michigan."
Yeah, I was saying that about Florida, too. I was like, even my friends who were here, they were like, yeah, I mean, I haven't even seen a Hillary sign. And then there were a couple neighborhoods that, like, only had Hillary signs, but it was Trump's, like, country everywhere. And I was like, man, you know, so I knew he was going to win Florida, and I knew Florida has a higher amount of electoral college votes. So I was like, man, that's a bit scary. But it would have been freaky either way, I guess. But
flip of a coin.
Right. Well,
only hope was Joe Exotic.
I know. Maybe next time. I feel like we almost reached peak crazy with this election, but not quite. There's always room to go higher. And I think it's going to just continue to get more interesting. We're either going to get Joe Exotic or we're going to get memes running for president, which I'm
Didn't
okay
we already
with either
have
one.
That?
I guess, technically, yeah. Anyway, how was your Thanksgiving? Enough about politics. Talk about the stuff that matters.
Pretty good food Thanksgiving. Ate a lot of food. As a fat guy, Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday of the year. There's tons of food.
I ate more carbs than I think I have all year. I mean, I didn't really do a Thanksgiving last year. But yeah, it was great. Good times. Actually, just like hung out with family. Didn't even talk about politics at all. Like, just talked about music and the kids were making jokes. We played this game called, what is it called? Banana. I can't even remember. It's kind of like Scrabble, but you make a crossword puzzle and... it's in like this banana sleeve, like all these little tiles, and you get like 15 of them, and you have to make your own crossword puzzle, and you can exchange tiles for like other ones, and basically whoever arranges a coherent crossword puzzle first and runs out of tiles wins. It was fun. It really laid back.
What's that game called?
It's like Scrabble, but it's, instead of Scrabble, it's Banana something.
Banana, huh. I don't think I've ever played that game.
Let me see if I can find it. Bananagrams. That's what it's called.
So that's a good game, huh?
Oh, it's totally good. If you like Scrabble and like word stuff, I highly recommend it. It's good, good for the brain. Much better for the brain than arguing with your family about stuff that doesn't matter.
Well, that was probably what made my Thanksgiving rather entertaining, actually, is about half my family voted for Trump and the other half voted for Hillary.
Ooh.
So it made for some interesting comments throughout Thanksgiving dinner.
Was it like split 50-50?
Thereabout.
Ah.
Wow. There was no arguing back and forth, but there were some comments going back and forth. And then there was me poking at both of them.
Oh, my God. I don't know, in the right conditions, that could be kind of fun for me. You know, if it's kind of balanced like that, where you can just kind of rip on everyone.
Yeah, it was pretty fun for me anyway. The people that voted for Hillary, I don't think it was so fun for them.
No.
But there was a lot of just comments. Yeah, it wasn't no one got into all out fights, which was kind of crazy for a white people Thanksgiving. But you know, there were some comments going back and forth, and the best part about it, though, was Lions winning the game.
Ah, there you go. Silver lining. Well, awesome. Well, we'll be back after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends. If you can't, chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
Freedom Fiends, we're back from our trip to the free market. If a Trump tweets on Twitter and no news media is out to report it, did it even happen?
No.
So, no. Wouldn't it be cool if he could get shadow banned from Twitter? He's just tweeting away and no one can respond.
That would be kind of a strange thing.
It would be a weird thing. I don't think we should ban him from Twitter. I don't think Twitter should ban him. He should be allowed to, you know, tweet out all sorts of crazy. I mean, that's a good way of finding out if someone's crazy, right? I mean, that's how I use Twitter and Facebook as filtering tools for people. It's like, okay, I thought you were cool, but now I know I'm going to keep you at a distance because you're actually a crazy person.
Our president-elect has sure proven that with his tweets going on today.
Right, yeah. He's saying nobody should be allowed to burn the American flag. If they do, there must be consequences. Perhaps lots of citizenship, or you're in jail. That was terrible, but that's what he's saying. Which has been this is status macho flash stuff. Yeah. The whole, you hear someone doing this every few years. There ought to be more consequences for, you know, burning a piece of fabric. So have you ever burned this piece of fabric?
Yes, multiple times.
Wow, what a felon.
It's one of my favorite pastimes, actually, is burning
favorite.
A flag.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I could burn a flag all over the place.
Like, if the government outlaws it to such an extent, is it your duty to rebel and burn the flag? I kind of feel like it is. I mean, you're not hurting anyone. You're not stopping. You're actually explicitly expressing your free speech, you know?
Yeah, it's and I mean, there's numerous Supreme Court rulings to back up the fact that it's supposed to be a protected speech. But we'll see how things go, I guess. I mean, there are people that have been arrested for things that are supposedly rights. It happens all the time. People and they get arrested for something that they have a right to do. But burning a flag for freedom is definitely the best way to go about it.
Yeah, yeah. What other things have you burned that might fall into these categories?
I've burned constitutions, I didn't really burn. I ripped up a Bible on stage one time when I was performing with my old metal band and threw the pages out into the mosh pit, and that was pretty fun. There was actually another time, speaking of performing and throwing stuff out into the mosh pit, I had one time I was performing, and I had an American flag, and I threw that out into the mosh pit. And then there was some guy that got so mad. He was so hurt by this, he went ran out into the mosh pit and picked it up. And then he went and cried in the corner and folded it up all proper how you're supposed to.
Wow.
And then he wouldn't give it back, too. He was like, this is mine now. He was so sad about that. He couldn't handle it. He got pretty triggered by that. Yeah, he was triggered by that.
People talk a lot about, like, these college kids getting triggered and stuff like that, and they make fun of them, and it's to me, it's gotten a little old. I think it's just super hypocritical when Donald Trump supporters basically want the entire country to be a safe space. I mean, they basically want to throw people in jail and take away their rights, basically throw them in torture cages for expressing their free speech.
It's a different kind of safe space. It's same thing in theory, I guess. But they really want, you know, they're just as bad as the everyone else. You know, the right and the left come around and become one, and they both want the same kind of safe space. No one can have an opinion different than me. If you say something I don't like, you should be put in jail.
Right.
You know, and if you know, you have a lot of conservatives that will go all crazy about college millennial kids saying something that they want to have said to them, but then as soon as someone says happy holidays, it's like the world just ended.
Right, these are people having seizures over Starbucks cups sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the child here? So we can go more into that when we come back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.'s place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Talking about cultural justice warriors. I like this term better than the term that you hear a lot of people using, social justice warriors. People are like, oh, these social justice warriors, they're trying to make these safe spaces, and then it's just terrible. And I don't have a problem. I don't really have any issue with safe spaces in colleges, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's a private area. That's a private area where people gather. And it's not like these people are coming out saying, we need to make a law out of this. Whereas these Trump supporters and a lot of other people are advocating for safe spaces to be legislated into society. That's way more dangerous.
Definitely. Definitely. It's way more expansion of government there. I mean, you have a private college that implements a room that you go to if you're, you know, feeling triggered or whatever, and as a safe space, that's fine. You know, that's their business. But when you're having government come in and say, hey, you know, you can't burn an American flag or else you go to jail for a year, you can't say happy holidays to me instead of Merry Christmas or whatever else they go on about.
Right. And the flag thing, it comes from the same premise of you can't do that because it hurts other people's feelings. It doesn't physically hurt anyone. It just hurts people's feelings. And you're basically saying those people's feelings deserve to have legislative violence behind them.
It's not a good thing to go down. And I mean, we saw that coming in with this year with people. Well, for Donald Trump, for example, saying that he wanted to expand libel laws to make it easier for him to sue people who said mean things to him.
For someone who spends most of his time trash talking on Twitter, that's pretty rich.
It's kind of hilarious. I mean, that's all he does is talk trash on Twitter.
Yeah, like, he spends more time trash-talking on Twitter than, like, listening to policy advisors. Should that be kind of... I mean, I don't know, like, how inept I want government to be. I mean, I want them to be pretty inept. So, like, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about that. Like, do we want to... Like, are we going to find out how close he is to pressing the nuke button through Twitter?
We'll probably know it's been pressed through Twitter.
We'll know it's...
He's gonna get into a Twitter
feud. Go to North Korea.
He's gonna get into a Twitter feud with somebody and then say, that is it. Just go press.
You keep talking this trash. I'm gonna press the button.
Watch him say that too. I could imagine him saying that on Twitter, even if it's just him jokingly saying that. I can imagine that those words being tweeted out from him.
Oh my god. The levels of discourse, how much they've degenerated, like, in the past few years. It's kind of great. I don't know. It's great and scary. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm holding on for the ride, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I'm much more worried about those people. And you saw this is like giving me flashbacks to the Bush administration. Because that's when I kind of got into activism and stuff, was I got more into, like, anti-war activism before any other type of political activism. It was, like, anti-war activism. And it was just crazy, being like living in a red state under Bush and just kind of the crazy, you just saw all of these, you know, you saw the creep of government surveillance getting even worse and all of these huge civil rights issues. And it was a pretty scary time. Not that like it got much better. That like laid the groundwork for all of the horrible surveillance stuff that's been happening. But I don't know. It's like giving me flashbacks almost. It's like, how much worse can it get? Because it's just been kind of built on top of since then. Like, even under the Obama administration, it's just been kind of like gradually built. And now we have like an actual fascist as president. Like, it's like, come on, people had to have known this was going to happen. But I don't know. People are tough. I don't buy in to this narrative that people in like kind of our generation are these special snowflakes that are too sensitive and, oh, we need our safe spaces and stuff like that. And even, I'm not even opposed to safe spaces, but I don't know where this stereotype came from. Like, I don't really know any millennials who are so thin skinned that, you know, they need safe spaces all the time, or that, you know, they're like too afraid to criticize government, or, you know, or expect things to be handed to them. Like, everyone I know works all of the time and often has like multiple jobs. And I really don't know where this, like, oh, these lazy entitled people. If anything, I think the boomers are lazy and entitled.
Definitely. It's definitely, they're definitely way more entitled. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that they try and say about millennials with like the participation trophies and stuff. Millennials didn't ask for that. That was forced on them by the baby boomers. You know, they were the ones that wanted the shelf with all the trophies for their kid and the ribbons and the stickers on the car and all kinds of stuff. And when it, you know, so it definitely wasn't millennials who wanted that. So where the stereotype comes from that millennials wanted all that stuff, I don't know, just because it was forced on millennials, I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was forced on millennials, and a lot of it was just, oh, you know, now I can live vicariously through my child's victories or whatever. I could put a little bumper sticker on my minivan saying, you know, my kid's an honor student. And okay, great. Good for you. There's this good article I came across in Washington Post. This is back in, back in November. It was by a Yale professor, and he says, "My students aren't snowflakes and they don't melt," is the title of the article. Mm-hmm. And it kind of raises a lot of the same points we're going through. He's really, and I think there should be skepticism about this, because it just seems like one of those things that people just, even other millennials, have kind of internalized, and I just don't see any kind of proof for it anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know anyone like that. I don't know where these people are coming from, if they exist. You know, most of the people I know that are millennials aren't lazy or entitled. They do work multiple jobs, or, you know, they're working hard. They're not, they've got a lot of debt, and they might complain about that with the student loans. But I mean, you look at the baby boomer generation, and I mean, you could go get a law degree from a really good university for what you're, for working part time.
Yeah.
You know, with that, you know, so it's not like, times have changed a little bit, so there's probably going to be some complaining when it comes to some things.
I mean, to say they're entitled is just insane. I mean, these are, why are we in a bunch of student loan debt and working multiple jobs? I'm sure it has nothing to do with a tanked economy. Oh, who did that?
Exactly.
We were children when that stuff was going down, so we can't blame it on millennials. You know, if anything, they're providing the tax base for all of these, like Social Security. I mean, I don't expect to get Social Security. That's like a mythical thing that, like, I'm paying into, that's going directly to older generations. Like, it's not going in some kind of storage vault somewhere like I'm gonna get to tap into later. It literally works by continuing to, you know, force younger generations to work and pay into stuff. So
we're never gonna see that.
Yeah.
Never going to see a dime out of Social Security, but got to pay into it to keep the old timers in their 4 o'clock early bird specials.
Yep. I'm glad people are pushing back against it. The millennials are one of the largest generations too. So, you know, I guess we'd have more time to complain about these things if we weren't so busy working all of the time and working multiple jobs. So who knows? I like that this college professor went at it. He seems like boomer aged. It's like, good, you have the free time to write about this stuff. You do it.
Yeah. I'm glad that someone's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a lot of hardworking people out there. And, yeah, we're no specialists.
The stereotype I really don't get is why people say millennials love Starbucks. That's the one I don't understand. More than everything else, that's the one that I don't get, because I hate Starbucks.
Oh, God.
With their coffee tastes like soap to me. It's just terrible coffee.
Yeah, it really is. And I had to drink a lot of it I was working at a startup, and we had an app where you could, you know, buy Starbucks gift cards through it. So I do a lot of app testing. So that meant drinking a lot of Starbucks and eating a lot of crappy Starbucks food, which, by the way, is such low quality. You're better off going to McDonald's. I kid you not. And I don't really eat fast food. McDonald's has better coffee too. Like, every now and then I'll go to Starbucks and get something just as a quick, you know, it's there, it's convenient, you know, I kind of know what I like because I've, you know, drank their crappy stuff so many times, but it's not my first choice usually if I can find a, you know, local place. And I usually just make my own coffee because it's better anyway. But I got so saturated with it, and I straight up didn't drink it for months. Like, after that, I was like, I don't even want to see Starbucks. But their food is terrible. All of it's microwaved. It's not cooked fresh at all. And it's super, and they charge so much for it. They charge you like $5 for a pastry that they microwave. And literally, yeah, just go to McDonald's and get something like that even more closely resembles real food for, you know, less than half the price.
Way less than half the price. I mean, you can get a large coffee at McDonald's for like a third of the cost of a Starbucks small.
Yeah, yeah, probably. So, yeah.
So it's crazy. It's crazy that people are throwing their money out for coffee like that.
I know, for terrible coffee too. I've even been gifted their bagged coffee and been like, no.
Yeah, the best coffee definitely comes from, like, diners. That's where I always find the best coffee.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Ooh. We are back. For the final segment of the first hour, and I wanted to draw your attention to this interesting article we came across on lifehacker.com called How to Spot and Debunk Fake News. So this has been a topic of discussion lately. what should be done about it, you know, how to spot it, did it have an influence on the election, all of these things. And I think fake news is great. I think it's hilarious. I love satire. But apparently people can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's real. And
yeah, they're getting a lot better. Satire is getting, there's presenting itself more and more convincingly like legitimate news.
Yeah, and I mean, I can kind of get that when a reality TV star becomes president, you kind of have to question reality anyway. I mean, is this actually happening? So, real news sometimes rivals fake news in how crazy it is. But it's not really that hard to spot. There's been kind of discussion about, oh, what should be done to combat this, you know, are people too stupid to realize when something is fake news? Should Facebook put flags on content saying, hey, this is fake news? And I don't know, that's kind of condescending. I mean, people do fall for fake news, but these are things that you can pretty easily figure out. First of all, you have to look at the website you're on. If it has extra letters in it, there's a guy who created a bunch of fake sites, you know, with real sounding URLs like nbc.com.co or abcnews.com.co. Like, that's an extra thing at the end of the site, you know, an extra .co. That's obviously fake. But also, my favorite thing is just reading the other headlines when you're on a website, kind of looking at the format of it and, you know, seeing how it's kind of laid out. But if something sounds too good to be true, start reading the other stories. And a lot of times these sites will say if it's satire, but like you can tell if they're just over the top. I mean, every now and then I see an Onion article shared that people think is serious, but it's gotten rarer. I mean, The Onion is such obvious satire, and it's so over the top. And I've written satire. It's fun.
Sometimes The Onion articles, though, seem more believable than real news.
Yeah. They're pretty biting commentary sometimes, which I appreciate. So, but yeah, I don't know. Do you think fake news has had much of an effect on electoral politics? Would you say?
Well, probably. I could see the you know, there's a lot of people that share fake news and read fake news and believe fake news. So you could have a lot of people out there that actually do believe, you know, whatever com.co is telling them, you know, is the news, and thinking it's ABC or NBC and going around and telling people about it. And that could have a little bit of a sway on their vote. I could see that happening. However, I don't think it's like some kind of huge thing that needs to be stopped. Like, it's not, it's funny. Just because someone falls for satire doesn't mean satire is bad. I mean, people have been falling for satire forever. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of the point of good satire, right?
But, I mean, you had, what was it, the George Orwell, not George Orwell, War of the Worlds. I can't remember who it was now. The radio show that they did. Oh, man, I can't remember who the guy is.
Oh, yeah.
And you had
H.G. Wells.
Yes. You had people calling up and trying to go volunteer to go fight the alien invaders. You know?
Yeah.
Like the satire stuff that people buying into stuff that's not, you know, it's nothing new. This has been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. I once wrote an article called Raytheon Accepts Bitcoin. And it fooled a lot of people. It was an April Fool's post. Slightly plausible now, though.
Sounds like a good one.
I had fun. Well, we'll be back for hour two after this brief little trip to the market. We'll be right back.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017. Wow, I can't talk tonight. This morning at 2 o'clock in the morning where I'm at. Okay. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCON no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I am here with James Weeks, the, what was it? Something samurai?
Expert samurai.
Expert samurai. I'm sorry. botched your real name. Spelled with an X. I like that. So we are slicing and dicing our way through fake news. We're talking about that at the last segment, and we wanted to keep talking about it because it's hilarious. It's something that's been going around since the beginning of the internet. I mean, I still remember getting those crazy, like, forwarded emails from relatives that were fake news. You know, it's always something crazy. Always. Like, you know, you always have a crazy uncle who's sending you, Obama's going to round up Christians or something crazy like that.
Yeah,
it's obviously fake. But, like, no one fact checks it. Snopes exists for a reason, people. Use it. And I know, Snopes. Every time I say that, people are all, they get all butthurt. They're like, well, you know, Snopes is just two people and, you know, who. But, like, just because it's on Snopes doesn't mean that Snopes is wrong. A lot of times and as far as fact checking goes, a lot of times you can confirm it with just a quick Google search. It's not mysterious. It's not like, you know, it's fake news is difficult to debunk.
Yeah, I'm actually on one of these fake news websites talked about in the Lifehacker article, and it is very obviously fake. I mean, it's nbc.com.co, and it's the only thing on it that's marking it, it just has NBC in a very basic plain font up in the header bar.
Like no logo or anything.
No logo, you know, it's just, you know, it's very, a very basic website, but these articles are hilarious.
What are some of the titles? Hold on, I'm going to look it up too.
We got Obama announces third term presidential run.
Oh God.
We got Dennis Rodman to talk with the leaders of ISIS this Sunday. We got Bill Murray kicks off presidential campaign in South Carolina with a bang. I really wish that was real.
Right.
Apparently, Breaking Bad is going to have a sixth season.
Oh, nice. Walt did not die. It's turned into a soap opera.
This is just funny. These are they have like exposed like code on the site and stuff. Like it's just not well put together at all. So the fact
like they're barely even tried.
No, they like barely. It looks like something that I could have put together in like 10 minutes.
This guy probably took all of 10 minutes to put it together too.
Probably, it probably put it is so basic.
Well, like, have you seen the layout of some sites, though? It's just, like, they aren't even trying. They literally don't care. So, satire, like, why should you care even more than that? You know? Doesn't... Yeah, this is so obviously...
This is the funniest part. It's at the bottom. It says, we need writers. If you would like to write for NBC, please contact us. And then you hover over the contact us icon, and it's a Gmail account you're mailing it to.
I might do this. Do they pay? I love writing satire. It's so fun. So I've written a couple. Yeah, netskrillsupport@gmail.com. That doesn't sound. Is it netskrill or netskrill? I don't know.
Something.
I'm going to email them. I'm going to email them and write and make fake news.
Well, they tried a little bit harder on abcnews.com.co, it looks like. They at least have like a circle around the ABC.
Oh, man. Yeah, and the articles...
a little bit better put together.
Well, it's the biggest problem with the fake news stuff. It's not that satire exists. It's not that fake news is always going to exist. People are always going to be writing stuff like this. But the bigger problem is people look for stuff to confirm their biases. So they'll accept anything, any kind of crazy headline, just so it supports their crazy worldview without even checking it twice, without even Googling it to see if it's, you know, in other areas. Like everyone does this, like all, you know, libertarians, conservatives, liberals, like it's a problem everyone kind of has. But it doesn't have to afflict you. You know, it's easy to figure this stuff out. And there are a few tools even, I mean, aside from common sense and, you know, just reading other headlines and, you know, taking 2 seconds to verify something through other sources. But there's an extension called BS Detector that will let you know when you're about to click on a link from a questionable source. I don't even know that it has to go that far, but you know, if you're susceptible to this, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to let technology protect you from yourself.
Yeah, probably a good idea for a lot of people.
It's better than a law, right? Like, or it's better than a platform restricting it. Because people were like, oh, well, maybe Facebook should prevent it. And you're basically, if you want Facebook to prevent you from seeing fake news, then you're basically, that's so self-hating. I mean, you're basically saying you're too dumb to figure out what is news. You should just have better standards for yourself.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
Get your life right.
I mean, it's not that hard to figure out a fake news site. It's not that hard to... I mean, all you gotta do is plug into Google or your favorite search engine just a little bit from the article, boom, and see if it pops up anywhere else and where it's popping up at.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Google has made this super easy to verify. So there's really no need. Yeah.
So quickly.
Yeah. It's great. You can even fact check. I mean, I use it for fact checking everything. I mean, like I've exposed scammers this way. Like if you get a weird feeling about someone who may be about to work for your company or whatever, you know, so, and not even a weird feeling. Like sometimes you can just tell someone's full of it. So yeah, Google them. It's awesome. You know, are they on Ripoff Report? Yeah, you probably shouldn't work with them. Or, you know, have they perpetuated other scams? Yeah, don't deal with them. So, but yeah, there are a bunch of sites that are kind of known for this. And there's, and also if something seems just too alarmist, I mean, a lot of stuff from, oh wait, I can't say that side on air. But if things seem so alarmist that you know, it's just too crazy to be true. It probably is.
This is the funny, and the abcnews.com.co, all of the articles are written by the exact same person. So dead giveaway that it's not actually ABC News. But the guy's name is Jimmy Rustling.
Oh, my God.
He's the author of every single one of these articles.
Wow.
They really couldn't be more obvious with this being fake.
Yeah, that's so obvious. It's weird. I just tried to type that abc.com.co into it. ABC News. Okay, that's why. Because it like redirected me to this Colgate site where everything's in Spanish.
Yeah, that's not the right site.
Which now I'm also fascinated by, but also don't understand, because I made like a C- in Spanish.
I think they have a plugin that you can translate it.
Yeah. But I mean, I get the gist. I know a bit about toothpaste.
Wait, it took that you could be an out of like Colgate Spanish website.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like Colgate toothpaste, but everything was in Spanish. All right. Things you can find on the internet. No, it's funny.
Look at this article. Are you on the website now?
Oh, I need to get back. Hold on. I got distracted.
I don't even know if I could. I don't think I can say this on the radio. This is too funny.
It's too funny.
Ted Cruz is planning. It will says he endorsed Donald Trump if he makes something illegal. I don't know if I can say that.
Oh. Hold on. I'm hovering over it now. Oh. I think we can say that on the radio. I think we can say that M word on the radio. The M is in masturbation. Wow, that almost came out weird. Okay. I will endorse Donald Trump for president if he makes masturbation legal. Far from some stuff Ted Cruz actually believes.
What's funny is that they have people commenting on this. I wonder if these are real people. Like, the comments on these articles.
You think they, like, hire fake commenters?
I wonder if they do.
Oh, my God, this is a WordPress theme. Wait, no, this is a... I've seen this theme before.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Ross Ulbricht was sentenced to life in prison for operating the Silk Road. But that's not the end of the story. Ross is trying to get out, but he needs your help. The Free Rossathon is happening Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 10 p.m. Eastern, featuring Roger Ver, Cody Wilson, Doug Casey, Tom Woods, and dozens of equally seditious speakers. Go to freeross.org right now and register for this free event. It's a fundraiser for Ross's appeal, so prepare to be inspired. freeross.org. That's freeross.org.
Still on the topic of fake news, but we'll wrap it up. I think another good way to spot fake news is, I don't know, scroll down and read the bio of the author, and if he has a name like Jimmy Rustling, I don't know, you may be reading fake news. Do you want to read this bio? This is on abcnews.com.co. All of the articles are written by this one guy, and this is his bio.
Okay, Jimmy Rustling. Born at an early age, Jimmy Rustling has found solace and comfort knowing that his humble actions have made this multiverse a better place for every man, woman, and child ever known to exist. Dr. Jimmy Rustling has won many awards for excellence in writing, including 14 Peabody Awards and a handful of Pulitzer Prizes. With Jimmy's or not being rustled, the kind doctor enjoys being an amazing husband to his beautiful soulmate, Anastasia, a Russian mail-order bride of almost 2 months. Dr. Rustling also spends 12 to 15 hours each day teaching their adopted 8-year-old Syrian refugee daughter how to read and write.
Come on, people. Look at, read your headlines, read your bylines, read the bios. If it says some stuff like that, you may be on a fake news site. But I hope the fake news business keeps booming. They're not hurting anyone. I don't think there's any malicious intent here. I mean, it's your own fault if you don't use the Google machine and fact check. It's literally not hard. It takes 2 seconds and saves you a lot of embarrassment. Because maybe people aren't, you know, going to actively judge you, but they will silently judge you. Actually, I'll actively judge you. I'll be like, that's fake. Stop that.
So. The thing with both of these websites that apparently they're both it's not two websites. It's actually one website. com.co. People aren't using their, you know, to look at the web, to look at the URL you're at and look at actually what website you're at. And people are forgetting that's the easiest way to tell that this website is not what it claims to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not.
The logo isn't even close.
Yeah. But even if you just look at the URL, you don't even have to look at the logo. You look at the URL. It's com.co. You know, the abcnews.com.co is just to throw people off, and it's brilliant. It's actually a really brilliant website the guy had here, because if you actually go to com.co, it's just a blank white page.
Yeah.
There's just nothing there. It's great. This Dr. Jimmy Rustling guy's onto something.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I might start writing fake news. Why not? It's hilarious. Definitely. Like, it's, God, his logo is so bad. I'm just wondering the type of idiot who goes on here and thinks this stuff is legit. I mean, there's a lot of people, but, stop doing that, people. Just take the extra 2 seconds, put it in the Google machine, verify it. Well, anyway. Why don't we move on to real news? Real news that could save lives. So, I came across this. So, we were on Lifehacker, and I went over to Gizmodo, which I have to, you know, obligatory hating on Gawker Media. Gizmodo is usually terrible, and they have some pretty poorly written things sometimes, but this one is actually a decent article. It's called "It Gave Me My Life Back: FDA Approves Large-Scale Clinical Trial for Ecstasy." And this is an article from yesterday, and this is interesting. So it starts off, "Ecstasy isn't only for ravers. A small series of clinical trials have demonstrated taking MDMA can be an effective treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. On Tuesday, the Food and Drug Administration granted permission for large-scale Phase 3 clinical trials for MDMA, which is the next step in the process to get it approved as a prescription drug." So this is kind of interesting. I've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence in support of this claim that this is a substance that's helped people kind of get through some of the trauma they've experienced, and it's been illegal for a long time, and hopefully that's changing. But we'll kind of dive more into that once we get back from the break.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues.
No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Talking about medicine, not drugs. This is medicine. So we kind of ended the last segment talking about how the FDA has approved MDMA for clinical trials. And this is something people have been fighting for years. And they actually used to do therapy sessions back in the 70s. I believe, and they were finding a lot of the stuff that these later studies have kind of confirmed about how it's good for treating trauma, and it may have fewer side effects than some of these other prescription drugs out there. And I think this is really good I can say from personal experience, as someone who's had PTSD and stuff, I found it to be helpful in the past. And I think it'd be great. In fact, there's a quote, this is a Gizmodo article, by the way. And a lot of people who have these kind of issues, they do try a lot of things. It's not like their first resort is, oh, I'm going to go roll on some ecstasy. A lot of them have tried therapy, different types of therapy or different things, and a lot of things don't work for them. So this is from a veteran, and this is specifically who they're using it for too. A lot of times is veterans who suffer from severe PTSD. And this is CJ Harden. He's a veteran who served 3 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he had severe PTSD that left him divorced, suicidal alcoholic, and he cut himself off from the rest of the world. And he says, "Nothing worked for me, so I put aside the idea that I could get better." But in 2013, Harden was lucky enough to join a small clinical trial studying MDMA as a PTSD treatment. He said, "It changed my life. It allowed me to see my trauma without fear or hesitation and finally process things and move forward."
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Especially trauma from something like war. We're all pretty much supporters of, anti-war activism here on the Freedom Fiends, and a big part of that is because of what it does to people, and not just people in other countries, but people who are having to fight in these wars, and, then they come back to their families, and they're having to deal with all this psychological trauma from all the guilt and, all the things they had to do, and a lot of them end up, changing their tune on things and changing their mind, but they're still racked with all these psychological conditions, and they're not getting help from the government that sent them out to do this. So I think this is great. It's a step in the right direction. I guess there's another argument of, do we even need the FDA and all of that? But, maybe in some ways these types of treatments need to be normalized for kind of the masses. Maybe if they see something that has, this is FDA approved, or this actually has been studied, instead of just hearing their friends be like, "No, actually, this was really good for me," then it might kind of help normalize it and get people the help that they need.
Yeah, having studies to back up what you're saying makes it a lot easier to try and reach people about stuff like drug war issues. So when you have the studies that show that, hey, maybe having these drugs being so legal or illegal isn't such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I have studies to prove that this is actually helpful. It actually helps people. That probably helps the conversation a little bit more. So, yeah, FDA approval and all that, but having those studies and having the FDA actually say that this does work, this would be a very good thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how these are being done. This isn't, it's not like they're just giving this to people and saying, look, let's see what happens. These are actually guided sessions. So there's this whole section, how does MDMA treat PTSD? And they go on to say, throughout a 12-week PTSD study, patients went through extensive psychotherapy, which involved 3 8-hour MDMA sessions. In these sessions, psychiatric nurse Anne Mathofer and her husband, Dr. Mathofer, guided each patient through his or her past traumas, playing soothing music. The Mathofer's terrier mix Flynn often kept patients company throughout their journey. And she said, and Anne Mathofer said, the medicine allows them to look at things from a different place and reclassify them. Honestly, we don't have to do much. Each person has an innate ability to heal. We just create the right conditions. And it works on a chemical level by allowing the brain to release a flood of hormones and neurotransmitters that evoke feelings of trust, love, and well-being, while also muting fear and negative emotional memories that can be overpowering in patients with post-traumatic stress disorder. So yeah, it affects people on a chemical level, but these are, you know, therapy sessions, and they are being done responsibly. And yeah, I'm all for this. I think PTSD is something that, you know, it's misunderstood, and it affects a ton of people, and not just veterans too. I mean, it affects, you can get PTSD from a broad range of traumatic experiences. And I know several mm-hmm. people personally that it's really helped, kind of helped them break through. I mean, childhood traumas, stuff going way back. And yeah, this is awesome. So good news.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely good news. I wonder if what is going to, so it is going into FDA, correct, right? Or is it not yet? Is that up in the air still?
So they granted permission for large-scale phase 3 clinical trials. So they've already done other clinical trials. So phase 3 is kind of like the final level. And then it's the next step in the process to get it approved as a prescription drug, which I'm not sure how they're going. I'm curious what they're going to do, like how they're going to kind of package that as a prescription drug. If they're going to combine it with other types of pharmaceuticals, or if they're going to, what they've done this with cannabis, they've created something called Marinol, which has a lot of the same benefits, but isn't, you know, quite the same as doing just regular cannabis. There's slight chemical differences, at least from my limited understanding of it. So I'm kind of wondering, yeah, I'm a little skeptical of, you know, what is going to, how are they going to process the MDMA to make it for public consumption? But, well, yeah. You know, we'll see.
Is there what about the patent on it right now? Speaking, you know, is there a patent on MDMA or no? You know,
I don't.
So that's
going
to be another question to be answered for it going into being a prescription drug. Because are you going to have these companies want to make a drug that's in the public domain?
That's a really good question, and that's another kind of danger when the FDA gets involved. Yeah, are they going to patent certain things? Because right now this is something, it's seen as a recreational drug, but it has definite therapeutic use. It has for decades, and people have known about its therapeutic uses for decades. So yeah, how does that work when it does get approved?
Yeah, who makes it? Who gets the patent for mm-hmm. something that, you know, is something people get right now, but mm-hmm. You have that with all drugs though, that you have recreational use and then actual treatment you can use with it. There's, I can't, off the top of my head anyway, I can't think of any drugs that are purely recreational that don't have any sort of somewhat benefit for something mm-hmm. out there.
Hmm.
I mean, you look at the big drugs out there, they even have, you know, pharmaceutical counterparts. So is this going to approve, you know, a pharmaceutical counterpart to MDMA or actually approve MDMA itself. That's another thing to probably find out.
I think that's probably, that's another question that has to be taken into consideration. Because I've seen stories like this before. It does seem on the surface like very good news. But then, you kind of have to dive deeper and wonder, okay, what are they going to do to it? And this was kind of my concern with legalization of cannabis, too. I was a bit concerned. I was like, government's getting involved in cannabis. What are they going to do with it? Are they going to try to create, are they going to, add stuff to it and try to patent it and things like that? And so far, I don't think we've seen a lot of that. At least when I lived in a place where it was legal and, I went through the whole kind of dispensary experience, it was very straightforward. It was, you could get just the plant in its natural state, and that's great. I would love to see things kind of left alone. Because, the compound itself, I mean, that's what it does. Like, the MDMA has this chemical effect. And, I would really not like to see it patented. Not be cool.
No, that wouldn't be cool.
So if you're listening, FDA, don't do that.
That'd be very uncool.
Yeah. Don't be square
We got FDA guys going, we got to stay cool. We better not patent it.
Yeah, right.
We saved the day. We got the FDA shaking in their boots.
That's right. You listen to us. Freedom Fiend says, no, you don't patent that. Bad FDA. Take that. Oh, man. Good news.
You wouldn't
want
to be uncool now, would you?
Yeah. Don't be a square. Just let it out. Just let it out in the wild. Let people get a prescription. I mean, even the prescription thing, like, I don't know. I'm very much a fan of the doing away with prescription things, too. Like, why can't you just go to a store and buy these things?
You should be able to.
So, full freedom now, but I'll settle for partial freedom sooner, I guess.
I liked
to sell out.
I liked what Daryl W. Perry had said before when he was running for president this past election cycle, that should be as legal
you
as
you and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Question. Expert samurai asking the tough questions. We went into this little rabbit hole on the break over this new thing that, I mean, this is super new. I haven't even heard about it. It's called Shake Pay. Do you want to kind of explain this, James?
Well, it's it looks like it's still in beta. It's like a Chrome extension that generates a one-time use virtual Visa card that you can load up with cryptocurrency.
Right. And we've talked about digital currency a lot on The Fiends. It's basically a different type of currency that people can use. You know, Bitcoin is probably the most well-known one, but there are also other types. It looks like Shake supports Bitcoin, Dash, and Ethereum. And Dash and Ethereum are a little bit newer. And basically, digital currency is great for quickly paying for things. I think it's a good alternative to cash and credit cards. Often the fees are super low. And it looks like this is a service that allows you to load a Visa card with your digital currency of choice. And that's pretty interesting. And you've kind of seen this with a few other people have come out with kind of Bitcoin debit cards and things like that. But I like how this one supports more, you know, it supports Dash and Ethereum.
Yeah, you've seen like the BitPay card and a couple other ones. But this, you know, temporary digital one is kind of something I haven't seen before. Personally, but I'm not, it's showing, it says that, it, you know, it expires within like an hour after generating the card. And that is making me not really liking it too much because there's a lot of merchants out there that don't charge right away. And I want to know what happens to the money once the card expires. Will they send it back to you?
That's what I'm kind of wondering. So there's a few different levels of this card. There's Shake Blue Exclusive, and this one has a higher transaction limit. So you can transact up to $2 million, and the prices charged to you vary between 0.25% and 5%. And KYC is required for these transactions, which KYC is Know Your Customer. It's basically a lot of boring government regulations, making sure that the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network know who you are and know what you're doing with your money. But they've rolled out this new thing recently, which is Shake Pay Instant. And this is what you were talking about, James, which is one-time use cards. And this is done through a browser extension in Chrome. And I watched the video. It's actually really interesting. But I am curious what I'm thinking may happen is if you don't use the card in the allotted time limit, I would hope that they refund it. So they've had other Bitcoin browser wallets, for example. I remember one years ago called CryptoKit. And I believe there's been other ones, too. And in theory, I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure you can have your crypto refunded back to a browser-based wallet.
Well, this isn't really a browser-based wallet, though. This is, because you're not actually storing Bitcoin on a wallet on your browser with this. At least that's not what it looks like anyway. From what I've seen, I don't have Chrome installed, so I haven't had a chance to play with it. But it doesn't look like a browser wallet. It looks like, you know, almost like Gift or eGift or one of those like gift card services where you buy a gift card with your Bitcoin. And that's kind of what it looks more like to me than a wallet.
Yeah, it looks like there's an app. In this video, it looks like there's an app that they're using. So
I think it's just their regular
wallet. Or is that just their regular wallet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then they're sending the money over to ShakePay.
Well, we'll see where it goes. You know, maybe one day you can buy your MDMA with ShakePay. We'll see if they actually don't disappear your money. But hey, this was an awesome first time for you. By the way, I didn't mention it was James's first time hosting The Fiends, and I think he did a spectacular job.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to fiending with you more in the future. And, yeah.
Definitely.
And you have a wrestling name now, so you're legit.
I do.
Well, cool. This is fun. I think we ended on good note.